Well, welcome. Thank you again for your grace and mercy. Just a couple of quickies. This afternoon is hindrance to prayer, and you don't want to miss that. There are 15 definite Bible quotes that will tell us things that hinder our prayer life, things that get in the way. And after that session is over, and that'll only be about a half hour, 35 minutes, there'll be several of us up here, men and women, to have prayer for anybody that may want to have prayer, or even feel you need to have an anointing. Whatever is on your heart, we will be meeting up here. So don't be embarrassed. It's about being right with God. And so you can pick and choose who you want to pray with or whatever. But we like to do that and offer that opportunity. Because today is the first day of the rest of our life, right? And so what we've done already has gone past us. I want to thank the pastor for allowing this weekend to happen. I do want to put a plug in that my wife and I have been around the block as far as churches, doing a lot of prayer retreats and that kind of thing there. And not to puff the head, but you got a pastor and family who you are really blessed to have that has a heart after God. And what we talked about earlier, if you will just make a commitment to go through those lists, it is our responsibility to lighten the burdens, not add to the burdens of our leaders. Not just elders and pastors, but Sabbath school. We all have a part that we can do. And for those who are the more mature Christians, we can't say, well, I've done my dues. Because if we say that, then we have to throw Abraham out of the Bible. Because when he was in his 80s, what did the Lord ask him to do? Now, if he was alive today, he could have very well said, you know, Father, I've done my dues. I'm on Social Security. I'm getting my retirement. You know, some of these other people need to start doing some of this stuff, right? We can all find excuses. But that isn't what Abraham did. When the Lord said go, he did what? He went. So discover treasures. Today we're going to just look at and put together hopefully the importance of prayer, self-examination, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Many people ask, is the Holy Spirit just an influence out there? Because the Bible, we talk, he's the third person of the Godhead. He's a person. But a lot of people think it's like Casper the ghost. You know, he's just out there floating somewhere and put something on your head. Is he a person? What part does he have in playing in our salvation? So we're going to look at, there's 21 characteristics, 21 attributes of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And when we go through these, I want you to ask yourself one question. Which one of these attributes would you want left out of your life? Because we serve a God of love, and this shows his character. This shows how much he cares for us, how much he wants to put in it. And again, we'll have all the pass-outs after this discourse. You can either come up here or get them at the door. So everything that's on the screen, again, is in print. So you're welcome to get a copy, take it home, find out if I was lying to you. And if you can come to me with love in your heart because I made a mistake, I'd sure be open to receive rebuke. But if you want to have that critical spirit to run me out of the church, save it for somebody else. So do you know him? The Holy Spirit. Who is it? What is it? And why did God give it to us? In John chapters 14 and 16, not a word does Jesus utter that can be construed as implying that the Holy Spirit is simply an influence. He addresses him and treats him as a person. 24 times in John 14, 15, and 16, the personal pronouns he, him, and whom occur apply to the Spirit. See the example in John 15. Not that the persons of the Godhead are masculine as contrasted with feminine, but personal as contrasted with impersonal. We had a sermon one time, hard to believe, in a church there, and you had the leader doing the sermon talking about Mother God, you know, so we had to have a talk about Mother God. But anyways, it's not about being feminine or masculine. Personal qualities, personal actions and personal relations are ascribed to him. It is knowledge, feeling, will, and love, not hands or feet, that are the marks of personality. Do you agree? Anybody agree? No? Nobody agrees? We need to have another prayer. Father God, again, we just ask for forgiveness, and I ask forgiveness, Lord, for running ahead of you. I get so excited sometimes. Forgive me, Lord, but we are going to have a spiritual battle here, because this subject here is the heartbeat of us Christians, Lord. It is all the attributes we need to be the people you want us to be. So again, we invite you to continue here with us, to keep all the distractions and Satan and his angels outside of this sanctuary, Lord. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you say amen once in a while, you make me feel like we're on track, okay? The Holy Spirit is more than a mere personality. He's a divine person, isn't he? Amen. All right. He's called God in Acts 5, 3, and 4, the third person of the Godhead. So people ask you, who is the Holy Spirit? How do you explain that? How do you explain that he's a person when we say, well, he just impresses my mind? But does Jesus impress our mind? Does God talk to us in different ways? Let's find out. He possesses divine attributes, omnipotence, omnipresent, eternal life. These pertain only to God, yet they are attributes of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, quote, is a person qualified to deal with personal beings consciously and intelligently, causing them to know what is in the heart of God for them and what is in their own hearts. So there's fourfold power needed. If you agree, say amen. Spiritual power to live a holy life. Do we need that? All right. Power of a new affection and will. Otherwise, do we need to keep growing, or are we pretty good where we're at? Intellectual power. Do we need that as Christians? God's intellectual power. Okay, and power for service. The Holy Spirit is himself the embodiment of all that power. So you just all agreed to the whole sermon today. We're just going to prove it now, okay? Because we need these, the 21 attributes. He teaches, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, 1 Corinthians. The Holy Spirit is in us, a good thing which was committed unto keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us, 2 Timothy. It is through the Spirit that Christ dwells in us. How important is that as a Christian, that we have Christ invite him into our lives? And as we mentioned earlier, remember the Bible talks about the faith of Jesus and Christ in us. And we need the faith of Jesus, because Jesus lived a perfect life, did he not? It's an accomplished fact. He's already done it all for us. All we have to do is get on the bandwagon with him. That means when I invite and I have Christ in me, when you have Christ in you, you now have his faith. You have his power. You have his strength. It's him who does the work. We're just vessels, right? Amen. And the Spirit of God received into the heart by faith is the beginning of life eternal. Those are promises. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. We have to invite him in every day, right? Sometimes more than once a day. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Holy Spirit leads us. Then was Jesus led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So I'll again say it today. It's all about Christ and his righteousness and his love for us. So if you are a discontented Christian in here today, unhappy Christian, whatever the reason is, may I submit to you that you're probably under the law, not under his grace. And if you want to have more joy in the Lord, you need to understand what it means to be in God's hands under grace. It's such a beautiful thing to be free. Yes, he is fitting us for heaven. But while he's doing that, we're already justified. That's good news, amen? All right. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Holy Spirit walks with us. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we're told, again, we can have that assurance in Romans 8:1, where it says, therefore. I mean, that word therefore means for that reason, right? So if you read what's before it, so for that reason, there is no condemnation. That's for us. But we have to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's therefore now. Read it with me. This is for you personally. Put your name in there if you need to. There is therefore now no condemnation to Mike, which I am in Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. And how do I walk after the Spirit? I need to be in that prayer closet. I need the Lord to guide me all the time. The trouble with us humans sometimes, especially us so-called adults, we don't look at ourselves as children, but we're children of God. We look at the little ones, but we're smarter than them now, right? We have it all figured out. But God tells us we're His little children. He has a lot to do with us yet. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen? Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. And what does liberty mean? Freedom. Not freedom that the world looks at. Freedom in God. The Spirit is life. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And these are all interconnected. They really aren't separate. He bears with us. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You're a child of God. Is that worth an amen? That means everyone in here is a prince or a princess. None of us are kings. We're all prince or princesses. That's good news. He intercedes for us. I can say amen to this a lot. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Holy Spirit speaks to us. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Revelation 2. In Revelation 2 and 3, we hear that repeated seven times. How serious is it? He that has an ear will overcome. We must overcome. But we overcome by how? Not a cliche, not just saying the blood of Christ, but it's because what Christ did and us inviting and allowing Him to give us victory. We cannot have sin go back to heaven. Do you agree? That means my heart has to be right with God. I may not have gotten everything figured out before I died, but if I know in my heart that, look at Lord, I'm really seeking you, I know that I'm a sinner, etc., etc., it's between you and God. But if you know your heart is after God, like David, look what David did. I don't think anybody in here did what King David did. I hope not. But, you know, if he was alive today, could you see the news headlines with the king? I mean, they did it with Clinton, but I could see the headlines now. King Peeping Tom knocks up neighbor's wife, has husband murdered. Yet the Lord said there was a man after his heart. So that's good news that we see these stories in the Bible to know that no matter where you've been today, you're forgiven. If you ask the Lord and you're sincere, He forgives you and we have a new life. And we can go share that with other people. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Holy Spirit is power. We need that power. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's good news. Holy Spirit is truth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither know Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Spirit sanctifies us. We can say amen to that because this one here fits us for heaven. Amen? That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. He gives us joy. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's right. Searches our hearts. Now, we may not like this all the time, but this is a part that we need to have done, as we heard earlier. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Peter thought he knew his own heart, and he was a great Christian man, was he not? And he swore, and I bet everyone in here who knows that story would agree that he was serious when he said he would not deny his Lord. And what did he do? He denied his Lord, because he didn't know his own heart. So the Spirit needs to search these things out. And that's love. That wasn't criticism. We know that God forgave him, and after Christ was resurrected, you remember what God, Jesus asked him three times, what? Peter, what? Do you love me? Does thou love me? And Peter said, you know I do, Lord, right? So he asked him three times. He denied him three times, he asked him three times. Peter had the assurance. And Peter did love the Lord. He just didn't know his own heart. And by love, God exposed that heart to him, because he had to get rid of that character flaw. And that's what we have. We have character flaws that we've developed. Some we inherit. Holy Spirit gives us patience. For we know, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Strengthens us that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Amen. Gives obedience. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And again, in self-examination, can we say that we love everybody, those who know the members here in this church? Do we love everybody? Or do we like some I wish I could love? The Lord's going to change all that if you let Him. Amen? I'm excited. I'm waiting to see how the Lord's going to work here. He fills us. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Think of it this way. We have all these things of God and we have an automobile. Now we have Bible study to learn the Word of God. We have in this car a steering wheel and we have this engine. The engine's the Holy Spirit. So here we got Bible study and works and we want to go to work. But there's no engine running. How do we get the engine running? We stick a key in, we turn it on, now we turn the power. And that's what we do with the Holy Spirit. When we invite Him in us, we're turning that key on. He's given us the power. Most of us would probably say, I believe God can do it. We have to get to a place in life that we believe God will do it. Amen? Right, three or four there. All right, we're getting there. We're almost done. Amen. The Comforter, He is the Comforter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In the other versions of it, it says, I will send you another Comforter. I love the names of God. There's so many names of God in the Bible. You ever wonder why there's so many different names for God in the Bible? You ever wondered that? I don't know how many there are total, but I know there's a lot of names if somebody knows it. For me personally, I think part of the reason may be as we go through different stages of life, sometimes we need that Jehovah Jireh, we need the provider. Sometimes that means more. Sometimes we need to hear the word comforter. There's all these different names. So maybe that's part of the reason. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. We're multiplied. He gives us power. Keeps giving us that power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How important is this power to have? In the book of Acts, it's estimated it lasted somewhere 31 to 33 years. Acts chapter 1 tells us there was 120 disciples in the upper room. We go into Acts chapter 2. We see the evidence of what started to happen. Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. He gave us a great commission to take the gospel to the world. For us, he just said, take it to Southern. That's good news. He didn't tell us we have to take it. Now, he may send some of you. So that meant the known world was 185 million people at the time. There was 120 disciples that didn't have iPads, internet, automobiles, interstates, airplanes, and we can go down the list. And he said, go therefore and take this gospel. At the end of that Acts chapter, book of Acts, it was estimated that there was 185 million people in the world. And at the end of the book of Acts, there was one Christian for every 185 people. But when they began, it was one Christian for every 1.5 million people. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. God gave us a promise. Now, we can say amen to that. But if we're part of that group here, the other side of that coin is that 11 of them had martyrs' lives of the disciples. There was a lot of death, pain, imprisonment, suffering, self-sacrificing. But they built the church of God on faith because they knew who their God was. And they let him be Lord of all of their life. Amen? And that's the power. Might be strange for some of you. It used to be strange for me. I've just learned to appreciate music more, and I've learned the value of music. And so figure it wakes us up and always has a nice message. And we're told by an inspired pen that music is as important as speaking and preaching. It does have a beautiful message. And in a minute, we're going to hear a beautiful song again on the Holy Spirit. Our deepest, highest, most urgent need of all today is the Holy Spirit, the power and provision of His filling. Fact, faith, and feeling is God's order. The filling may be unique, but will probably be common. Barnabas never had the experience of Paul, yet both were filled with the Spirit. And that's important to know. When you ask for that Spirit by faith, know that you have it. The fullness of the Holy Spirit, that's the process we're going through. As we get rid of junk in our life, we make more room for the Spirit. We'll find that we're more in prayer, we're more into the Word, we're more into the service of God. It just builds and builds. If we quit studying God's Word and we just give token prayers, it's not going to be a good plan. You won't survive it. Filling is not based on feelings, but on fact. That's worth amen, because a lot of times I don't feel what I would like to feel, but I know. It comes as a result of quiet faith. It's a gift. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's the beginning of our walk. That's not the infilling. That's the beginning. It's not the end. And they of circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. It brings holy boldness. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke the word of God with boldness. So now we've seen the coward Peter denying the Lord. 50 days later, he's back in a place where they crucified the Lord, ran him out of town, was afraid, and now he preaches one of the most powerful sermons recorded in the Bible, and 3,000 souls were baptized on that day. On that day. That's important. My peace. Shall we sing that one more time? Or do you want to bypass it? Let's sing it. We have the physical food over there. It's just going to make you enjoy it all that much more. So the Holy Spirit, since this, and getting closing, since this is the means by which we are to receive power, why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why do we not talk of it, pray for it, and preach concerning it? My prayer is hopefully that from this day forward, we will do more of that in our homes and in our church. And again, I want to encourage, this is the church that the Lord has brought us to, those who are members here. And so this is where our commitment needs to be to the Lord. It's pretty much that simple. We need to start seeing each other as a family. We need to support each other as a family. We need to uplift each other. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we're going to criticize anybody into heaven. Is that right? For the daily baptism of the Spirit, every worker, that's us, should offer his petition to God. So how important is it to have the indwelling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Our eternal life depends upon it. And so there's only one way and one way only to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How is that? I know you know the answer. What was that? Earnest prayer. Earnest prayer. Every recorded instance of receiving the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is preceded by earnest prayer and how earnestly they desire the gift. Pentecost proves that if our repentance is true and deep, no blessing is withheld because of sin, of past sins. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the advocate on earth of our glorified Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. We receive the Spirit by a definite, deliberate, conscious, personal act of faith and surrender. It's so important. Again, get the past out. So we must surrender our will, yield ourselves to Him, become empty of self, and remember, faith is not feelings. As Christ had a definite time mission to the Holy Spirit, likewise has a definite time mission. His special dispensation being from Pentecost to the second advent, His is a person of the Godhead who came to earth in a definite way at a definite time for a definite work. Do you agree? That means, you know, Christ came, He was prophesied when He was going to come, how long His ministry would be, when He was going to be crucified. There was a window of opportunity for those people at that time. Some took it, some didn't. We have a window of opportunity right now because the Lord is coming again. That is our hope and bless, right? Isn't that what we're praying for? That means if we want to go with Him, we need to be right. That's all this is all about. Let's get right. We may be right in our own mind, but we need to be more right. The Holy Spirit was the highest of all gifts that He could solicit from His Father for the exaltation of His people. What a gift He gave us. Sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead, who would come with no modified energy, but in the fullness of divine power. Christ, our example. Christ's humanity was united with divinity. He was fitted for the conflict by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're to do. Our humanity is to be united with divinity. Amen. Then that power works through us. Isn't it simple? Simple gospel. And He came to make us partakers of the divine nature. So why do we lack this power? We cannot use the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is to use us. Through the Spirit, God works in His people to will and do of His good pleasure. But many will not submit to be led. And that's crucial. And that's the fact. Many, not some, many will not submit to be led. They want to manage themselves. This is why they do not receive a heavenly gift. This promised blessing claimed by faith brings all other blessings in its trains. End of quote. Did you get that? So when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, everything else that we wish, all these symptomatic problems will start disappearing. What a picture. You have that vision, Proverbs 29, say it with me. Remember that? Where there's no vision, the people. So what's your vision? What's your vision for this church? Closing, do you want to receive this power? When do you want to receive this power? What is holding you back? You need to ask yourself that. Are you a full-time or part-time Christian? That's kind of an oxymoron, because if I'm not a full-time Christian, I'm probably not a Christian. But we are. When we decided I need Jesus in my life and got baptized, did we not say, now I am married to Christ? I'm giving you my life, Lord. I've now chose a new lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's not something that we do once a week. Is Jesus really the Lord of all your life? And are you willing to be willing? Again, I ask, what's the only way we can receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Prayer. So how important is prayer? Our eternal destiny depends upon it. And so now I'm going to have Glenda sing that song on the Holy Spirit again. I want to thank Sherman for... I didn't let them people know that ahead of time. I just felt impressed to do that at the last sermon, and she was gracious to do it. But this time, hearing what you've heard and all the attributes of the Holy Spirit, this song is really a prayer. And if we hear the words of it, let's ask the Lord that this will be the prayer of our hearts. That's what God wants us to be. As we sit here today, and comfort and joy and good fellowship, and what a blessing. I can guarantee you right here in this community, there's a lot of suffering souls. There's people hurting in this church. People have lost their loved ones. People are in the process of losing loved ones. There's somebody in Sutherland today contemplating suicide. Someone's probably wondering, should I be married to this person? Did I make a big mistake? In closing, I want to read a couple of statistics. For the purpose of us, that song that Glenda just sang, Work Through Me. And when you hear these, maybe you know some of these people. Maybe your heart is touched by it and you don't know what to do. Seek the Lord. He will show you what to do. He qualifies the willing. I'm just a lay person too. I'm no different than you folks. So just let the Lord work through you. But put faces to these and not numbers. And I know statistics, as I said last night, they're only a thermometer of what's going on in our society. And you can get different ones. Most of these come from the Center of Disease Control in the United States judicial system, which gets all the reports of crimes, et cetera, et cetera. But here's what's going on in the world today and why God has called us. Because His law, His Ten Commandments are not grievous. This is the result of not following His law and letting Satan get a grip. And remember, these souls are gripped by Satan right now. They need us as instruments of God to take them out. Teenage suicide. Teenage suicides. Average age of the young ones is 15 to 24. This here now is every 7 days. Since last Sabbath, this is what went on in this country. Even though we may not see it in Sutherland like you think, or Roseburg, it's happening. 27,000 people lost their homes. 323 women were killed by domestic violence. 43,000 were injured. Binge drinking, 12 to 17-year-old, 57,000 young people. Binge drinking means taking five or more drinks as fast as you can to see how fast you can get loaded. Not a good plan. And out of that, $10,080,000 was spent on alcohol, and 40% of that, almost half, was by students. $31 million was spent on pornography this last week. 217 more adult movies were made worldwide. Of that money spent on pornography, half of it comes from people renting hotel rooms. 308 teenagers were murdered. 27,000 bankruptcies. 2,500 new cases of cancer. 25,000 people died from cancer this last week. 19,600 teenagers got pregnant. 23,000 abortions, 38,000 new cases STDs, 1,730 children victims of incest. Right now it's estimated over 10 million people are walking around in this country who are victims of that. And the statistics, according to the experts who get it, this is only on the report, they estimate that it's actually 35% that don't report instead of 10%. Which means statistically, when you go home today, every third house, somebody's messing up with their children. That's the world we live in. Satan's got a grip on it. But we have an answer. 1,700 men were raped, 3,300 women, 19,000 divorces, 288,000 starved to death worldwide, 55% of them under the age of 5 years old. It's just crazy. In this country, one out of five children, how many children here are 12 years old and under? Raise your hand. You're under 12 years old, raise your hand. 12 or under. You look at them. This means in the United States, 4 years ago, it was one out of eight. Now it's one out of five children that raise their hands here in this country go to bed hungry every night. Do we have something to take to the world? Do we have a message? Are we going to be so selfish is that we just take it for ourselves? I'm encourage you to ask the Lord in prayer, what can I do? And it doesn't have to be, don't think because you're not up here preaching, you're not doing it. We're in a spiritual war. And every soldier is needed. I don't care if you're a greeter. I don't care if you have a card ministry. You can do something for the Lord. So in closing, let's sing this family. We are family. Maybe if we can start learning to think of each other as family, it'll change our hearts.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are patient with us. We're grateful that you deeply care about each one of us. We are so grateful, Lord, that you see each one of us as your special child, as your favorite one. You can do it. I don't know how, but you are amazing. Lord, we pray that this assurance of your deep interest in us, your deep love for us, will move us. I pray that it'll touch us, it'll warm our hearts, so we'll be open to receive everything that you offer to us. And most of all, Lord, we are grateful for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have sent to us. Thank you for being here with us. Now we pray that you'll be with us as we are going to have this lunch together. Pray that you'll bless our fellowship and bless us as we come back. In Jesus' name, amen.